Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Lord, we thank you for your favor, and Lord, we recognize that we need you. Lord, greater than anything else, we need you. We want to sense your presence in our life. Lord, we want the word, Lord, the truth of your word to affect how we see and how we interact in life. And so we invite your Holy Spirit to turn the light on. Help us to understand so that, Lord, we can apply it. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. You know, we're kind of we're a couple weeks this side of a new year, and you know, a lot of times when you come around a new year, people assess, and they're like, hey, this is 17, and I'd like maybe like, you know, this area of my life or this situation to get better. And what I've found is I think there's a big difference between me saying I would like this and Lord, I need this. How many of you know what I'm saying? It's all in I like is more just kind of casual. Oh, it'd be nice if it happened. But when we come to a place where we're saying, Lord, I need it, is what happens is there's a deeper level on the inside. How many of you before have ever, I think probably all of us, I'm just going to make that assumption, but you've walked into a sliding glass door. How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you have done it in a public place? Let me see that. How many of you have done it in a public place carrying food? How many of you know what I'm saying? We're just boom, just boom. Now let me just throw this out. I've done it in all three, okay? And so, you know, but when you think about it, is what that door was, is it was an unseen boundary. It was there, and you were moving in a direction, but you didn't see it. And it was an unseen boundary. And it was just kind of like you were walking, you were fully expecting, and you were ready to get out to that next room or wherever that was. And then all of a sudden, bam, you were wearing your food, and you were just kind of like, and what I want to teach on, the title of what I want to teach on this morning is glass ceiling. Everybody say glass ceiling. And you'll see where I'm going with this. Is that what we're going to do is we're going to read a story in the Bible in Mark chapter 5. If you brought your Bible, you know, you can just pull it up on your pad or your phone or your paper person. You can turn there. But I want us to I want us to look at this story from maybe more than a historical perspective, because what I've noticed is that sometimes if we don't watch it, we kind of can drift into when we're reading stories in the Bible, and especially if we've read them a lot and we know the story, is we can just kind of look at it from more a historical perspective. But what I want you to do is I want us today, as we read this, is I want you to kind of shift that and almost like somebody that you trusted, that you really, really knew well, was telling you this story, and they were an eyewitness to what was occurring in the story. Where it was something where you were sitting there, and you know, maybe Andrew came over and was, man, I just need you, and you just totally trust him, totally know him, and so they're just like, you're just kind of in it. And so I want us to read it from that perspective, because I think it'll help us. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read through verse 34. It says, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. That's the New Living. The Amplified translation says that it was a great throng, or just a massive amount of people. Verse 22, it says, then a leader of the local synagogue. Now realize this would be like Pastor Daniel. Back then, their church services were synagogues. And so a leader of the local, a pastor showed up, and it even gives his name. It says, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so that she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd, and this is really where we're going to start drilling in. It says, a woman that was in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. It says she had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. We're going to keep reading, but I want us, the Amplified says it like this. It says, verse 31, it says that the crowd was so big that it was a suffocating crowd that was around him. And so if you could imagine, a suffocating crowd would probably be, we could readily assess, at least 1,000 people were pressing around Jesus. We read earlier when the story started, it says that it was, the Amplified said, it was a massive throng of people. And so this woman presses through the crowd, and immediately what I want you to notice is Jesus noticed that somebody touched him that was different than everybody else that was in the crowd. And the disciples, what they said is, they said, how can you ask who touched me? Verse 32. But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Now, what I want you to notice is this, is the reason that Mark has this in the gospel is because he was in the crowd, and when this woman is telling it, what she's doing is she is recounting her whole story of what had happened, and this is why Mark knew the story. And so Mark must have been in the crowd, and he's listening, and as he's listening to this woman, she is the one that recounted, it's been 12 years. She is the one that has recounted, I've done everything I can. She is the one that has recounted, this is what I said, and this is what I did. She is the one. And so she's recounting this to Jesus because he had asked, who touched me? Verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. I believe that, you know, this woman had a problem that she couldn't fix. And I believe that the Lord put her in the Bible because every one of us sitting here today has problems in our life that we cannot fix. Where we're looking, it might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be a people problem. How many of y'all know that if the people are in your life would just listen better to you, your problems would be a whole lot less? How many of you are with me on that? Okay, look. Don't look at anybody. Just look straight ahead when I say something like that. But what I want you to notice it said is that she spent everything and did everything she knew. And it's been more than 12 years and it's gotten worse. And you know, maybe you're here today and you've been struggling with some type of a physical thing in your life. Maybe you're here today and it's an emotional thing. Maybe you're here today and it's a habit or an addiction, or maybe it's a relational thing in your life. This woman got totally healed and her problem was totally fixed. Look, and we do as many times as we categorize our problems, where we look and we say, well, you know, this is the kind of problems that Jesus touches, but these kind of problems, you know, he doesn't really mess with those. No, he messes with all of them. He fixes all of them. And the Bible describes the crowd around Jesus that is so thick that it's suffocating. And I believe that there were other people in this large crowd that had just as real of a need in their life as this woman did. How many of you are with me? Let me ask you a question right now. How many of us right now have a need in our life? I just put it up. Put it up. Okay. Now, realize this. Just like us, there are people that are in that crowd. I believe it's the same today. And what I want us to do is, as we progress in this, is I want you to take your earning hat off. And what I mean by that is this, is I'm a legal pad, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of a person. How many of you are like that? You know what I'm saying? I want you to take that off, and I want you to put the heart hat on, which means that what we're going to do is we're going to look at some truths, but I want us to get out of our mind, we're earning it, and to get into our mind, my heart needs to embrace the spirit of what this woman did, and so that it's growing in my life and in my heart. Are you with me today? And see what it is. And so we're going to look at her heart. And I want to just answer. And the answer can be found in verse 34, but we're going to drill a little deeper. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Now, when we look at that word faith, a lot of times what we do is, and I've prayed this, Lord, increase my faith. You know what I'm saying? Lord, I just want greater faith in my life. But if you look at this word faith in the original Greek, this is what it means. It means persuasion. It means expectation. It means assurance or moral conviction of something that is expected. If you look it up, this word, if you look up the word expectation in the dictionary, it means this. It means the act or state of expecting, to wait in expectation. It means the act or state of looking forward to something with anticipation in your heart. It means an expectant mental attitude, something expected or looked forward to. Now, we do this in our life when we use this term faith, is we expect. You know, how many of you have a set payday in your life? How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of y'all know before it ever hits the bank, you start spending it? How many of you know what I'm saying? Because you know that it's coming. And I'm not saying, you know, you got your house payment, you got your rent, you got your car. And so what it is you're just expecting it. There's no mental torment. Like, are they going to come through and put this money in because I just sent these checks or whatever, whatever. You got this draft coming in. But what we do, and see, what I want you to notice is that this woman had a heart that was expecting. She was persuaded. There was an assurance. There was moral conviction. And what I want you to notice is this, is it was in spite of what she had been through in her life. She had been through a bunch of junk. How many of you have been through a bunch of junk? Let me just tell you something. The Lord wants us to expect him in spite of the junk that we have been through. And what I want you to notice is that, and see what a glass ceiling is, it is when my expectation in my life and what I'm expecting in my life has changed due to what I've been through. I've been through this. I used to be expecting. I used to be believing. But this person did this. But I went through this physically. But I went through this. So, you know, my expectation now has dropped. See, that's what a glass ceiling is. Jesus said that we can allow a glass ceiling over our life because of what we've been through, where we've been through things in our life. See, it is totally affected now what I'm expecting God to do in my life. And what we're doing is we're going along, and maybe it's the first of the year, and we're saying, Lord, I would like this, or I would like that. And he says, do you need that? And is it come to a place in your heart where you say, Lord, I'm no longer just preferring this, but Lord, I need this in my life. And Lord, in spite of what I've been through, I'm expecting you on the inside to do something that is greater than what I've been through. Are you with me today? Are you with me? And see, what we've got to understand is faith to God is expecting him. That's what it is. We use the word faith, and we just kind of use it as this nebulous word out there. But faith to God is when I'm expecting him. That's what it is. When I'm expecting God, because Jesus said, he said, woman, you're healed because of your expectation, because you were assured on the inside and something had grown in you. And so that's what happened, is you received. She had a need that she couldn't meet. She received when others in the crowd weren't receiving. And Jesus said it was because of what she was expecting. It was because of, now how many of y'all know, we're in charge of our expectation. I am in charge of my expectation. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about what she did to get this expectation and see how it is directly linked to me receiving in my life all the good things that God has for my life. See, it is one thing for me to know it, but it's not enough to know it. And you say, what do you mean by that? There was a crowd of over 1,000 people that were around Jesus that had needs, but none of them was expecting like this woman. And so what happened is that we can be a crowd around Jesus, or we can be expecting and connected to Jesus. Are you with me today? And so what I want you to notice, I'm just going to kind of give you a few points based on how much time I have. But number one is this, is she adjusted her BS. Now, let me just be clear. Some of you got a face as soon as I said that. Come on now, get your brain out of the gutter. Her belief system. Come on, we just read. In case you didn't know, we just got BS saved. Okay. Is that she adjusted her belief system. What she heard about Jesus affected her belief system in a relevant way about her life. She was willing to adjust her belief system. See, if what God says about me doesn't adjust my belief system, then my will derail it every single time. And the reason that my will derail it is because I will make allowance for what God said, don't make allowance for. I'll make an allowance and it'll be okay with me. And what it is no matter what I've been through, I must make room for what God has promised to do. All of us here today, Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have distress, but I'm just going to throw you my version in. Don't make what you've been through your roadmap to where God's bringing you. Number two is this, is she was specific. Look at what it, I mean, she said, if I can just touch him. Specific. What am I needing and asking specifically right now, 2017, for the Lord in my life? What am I asking him for? What is my area? What is it? What's right now in my heart where I'm saying, Lord, I really need you to move in this area. Lord, I heart this year in this area of my life this year. It's not okay, Lord. I really need it. Number three is this, is when no one else saw, God did. Look at what it says. It says, Jesus didn't even know who touched him. Jesus didn't. Think about that for a moment. No matter who you think sees and knows, realize this, God sees and he knows. And sometimes what we're doing is we want everybody else to know because we're not aware on the inside that God knows. And what we've got to understand is the Bible is full of examples of this. And it's got to be in the bedrock of my belief system that when I am going through stuff and I don't understand and I feel like life isn't fair and Lord, this person did that and Lord, I'm feeling like this and Lord, this is going down, that there is a bedrock in my soul that says, you know what? When nobody else sees, God knows and God cares what I'm going through. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows. I mean, there are so many examples of this. See, God sees and knows where I'm at, and he knows what's going on. Let me tell you something. If God sees and knows where you're at, it really doesn't matter who else sees and knows, because the one that matters is him. He is the one that matters. Number four is this. If she was tired of where she was at, this is huge in our lives. And sometimes we're just not tired of where we're at. We're just not tired of it. How many of you know what I'm saying? And see, there's a difference between being unhappy and discontented and what I'm just going to call a holy discontent that is saying, Lord, you have better for me. Lord, you have better in my life in this area. You know, what does it take for us to be done with it? What does it take for me to say, this woman came to the place where she's like, I'm done. It's over. I'm going. And what it is it's how much will I tolerate before I begin to direct my attention to Jesus? where it'll just be okay. How many of you know what I'm saying? Notice that what she was expecting, it motivated her to do something. And what it is that, you know, it says that she spent everything that she had. I'm going to just ask this question. I know it's rhetorical, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is how many of you think the Lord could have healed her before she spent everything she had? Why did he have it put in there that it says she spent everything she had? Because usually we don't cry out until we don't have anything less. When we got nothing left, how many of you know what I'm saying? Okay, we got to pray now. You know what I'm saying? And what it is it's our tolerance threshold before it's just not okay anymore. It's just not okay. This is just not okay anymore. I remember, what time am I supposed to be done, Daniel? 10:25, okay. I remember, can I tell you a story about myself? It's an incriminating story, so that's okay. You'll like that. Most of my stories are. How many of y'all know James DeMello? Okay, this was about 25 years ago. And Dan O'Dash, I'll see Dan O'Dash. Is Dan O in here? Is that what happened is I was like, my wife is I used to own Sunshine Painting Company, the company that Dan owns. In that, and so there was a season where I was just like mostly just driving around in my, you know, from job to job and just checking on and everything. And so what happened is my wife is just awesome. And she would just like make me a lunch every day. How many of you men could say, uh-huh? You know what I'm saying? She'd make me a lunch and you're like, dude, you are old. That doesn't happen anymore. I get it. I understand. But I think she would make me a lunch because she didn't want me hitting like the, you know, this was before the days of In-N-Out. I mean, it was like Burger King and those types of places. And so she would make me a lunch, and she would make me this lunch, and I'd put the lunch in there, and I'd usually like, you know, I'd like have her lunch gone by like 10:30 or something like that. How many of you are with me? You know what I'm saying? And then it'd be like 1, and I'd be like, man, I'm hungry. And so I'd just pull. How many of you know there's a difference between hungry and hangry? How many of you know what I'm saying? And so I'd just be like, I don't want to be hangry, so I just got to go through this drive-thru. And so I'd go through the drive-thru, and they would say, supersize it. How many of you know what I'm saying? And I would just be like, well, of course, I'm the blessed of the Lord. How many of you know what I'm saying? And so my wife is just really, really graceful, but she starts saying to me, she's just being like, honey, are you eating more than the food, you know, that I'm fixing you and this and that? And so I put on a few pounds, you know what I'm saying? I put on a few pounds. Well, one time I was on a job and I went to start this piece of equipment. And I mean, I felt something in my back just pop. Poof. And I was like, okay, I've never had anything like that. And I'm like, I'm going to my car. And I went and got in my car and drove home. And when I got home and I was like, I just got to go in. And I tried to get out of my car. And as soon as I stepped out of my car, it was like, oh, so I got down. I went to the ground. And we had this little half wall about this big in front of our house. And I crawled over to the half wall and I was laying on it, on the half wall in my front yard. And this was back, my cell phone, this was back when cell phones looked like a cinder block. How many of you know what I'm saying? And so my cell phone's in the car. My wife is in the house. And I start hollering, honey, Jill, because I can't get off the wall. It's terrible. And I'm laying there. And I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just laying there. And so finally she comes out, and my wife is into this high intensity aerobics. Tell me that is not like convicting. She's like into this. I mean, she did military aerobics until 2 weeks before she gave birth to one of our kids. I mean, she's just like an intense mama. And anyway, and so she comes out and she's like, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know, something happened to my back. And they got somebody else and they put a piece of plywood under my stomach. And I crawled into the house and I laid on the floor and I picked up the phone and I called James DeMello. And I said, James. And, you know, James is just like, how many of y'all know James isn't known for his grace? He isn't. He just says to me, he said, dude, you're eating too much. He said, you're getting fat. I wasn't politically correct in back then. He's like, and it's because your back, you need your abs to get stronger to support your back. How many of you know what I'm saying? And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever, whatever. It took me 2 days and I got off the floor. Now let me just ask you a question. Do you think I did anything with that? No. Back's good. You know what I'm saying? I'm fine. Year later, it happened again. About 6 months later, I'm with my family, and we're going through the airport. We're in the airport with all my kids following, and I just turned and something happened. In the airport, going on vacation. I just went, oh. And my wife, no, look. She looks over and is like, no. And I'm like, everybody back up. I laid on the floor, sprawled out in the middle of the airport, stretching my back out. You know what I'm saying? Stretching my back out in the middle of the airport, crying out to God. God, I need you to heal my back. I'm going on vacation. He fixed it. The Lord fixed it. Thank you, Jesus. You know where I'm going. Do you think I listen? Come on, people, be of faith. Encourage me. He said, I didn't listen. So finally, after like this happening 4 or 5 times, I said, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of this. I'm not going here anymore. And what it was is that in my heart, in my life, is I had to come to a place where I said, you know what? It is not okay anymore. And sometimes this is bigger than we think in our lives. Is we're saying, Lord, I want you to move, but it's okay with us. We're okay with it. And it's huge. I mean, sometimes for some of us that have kids that are adults, we're looking at our kids and we're saying, they have got to be on their last rung. How many of you know what I'm saying? And so I'm going to jump in and help them, only to find out they have a 50-foot extension ladder that keeps going down, down, down. And they haven't come to the realization that I got to do something. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of being in this place, and I got to do something. See, this is what this woman did. She hit her bottom rung, and it determines everything. Where, Lord, it's not okay anymore. I'm not going to accept this as my lot in life anymore. It is not okay. This is not my slice of the pie. This is not my pie. Jesus came to give me a better life, and so, Lord, it's not okay. I'm right there, right now. Are you with me? Am I okay? Am I okay? The next, look at what it says, and I want to just read this before I give you. Did I give you four? Yeah. I'll give you four. Verse 28 says this. For she thought to herself, this is the New Living, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. The Amplified Classic says it like this. For she kept saying, if I can just touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Another translation says it like this. She kept saying within herself. This is number 5. What I'm thinking and saying about myself within myself is really important. It is, what am I thinking and saying about myself within myself? She had all the reason in the world to be negative. Her outlook. Had she been wronged? Yes. Had life been fair? No. Had what she'd been through been fair? No. Could she justify being negative? Yes, absolutely. Oh, those doctors, they just rip me off. Maybe you're sitting here right now and you've got a dream to be married and you've been through something that is difficult and now you've allowed a thought process because of somebody that did you wrong on the inside, and it's like carrying around a backpack full of rocks that everybody sees. And God is saying, what are you saying within yourself, about yourself, and to yourself? Because that affects everything about what God can do in our lives. Oh, it's the economy. Oh, it's this or it's that. Life isn't fair. Oh, my husband is just a jerk. Oh, my wife is just a jerk. Oh, my kids are a bunch of piranha, and I just can't take them anymore. What am I saying within myself? What am I speaking? Oh, it's this person's fault. Oh, it's that deliverer. And they'll tell you something. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Jesus is the deliverer and the redeemer and the lifter. That's what he is. Look at what she was saying within herself. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And what it is what am I rehearsing? What do I keep saying about myself? See, this was repeated in her over and over again. Psalms 23 says this, that as a person thinks in their heart, so they'll be. That's what Psalms 23 says. And what it is what am I thinking and saying and planning for on the inside? Because that is my faith or my expectation, and Jesus will not override my will. He will not override my will. It says in Psalms 15, verse 1 and 2, there's a question, and David is the psalmist, and he's questioning. It says, Lord, who shall dwell, and this is the Amplified, temporarily in your tabernacle? Remember, the tabernacle then was the moving presence of God. It was the tent of God that the priests carried around. And then he said, who shall dwell permanently? That was Mount Sinai, where Moses got the Ten Commandments on your holy hill. What I want you to notice is he talks about two types of the presence of God in our life. One of them is us being sensitive to his personal leading in our life on a daily basis. The other one is, if you look at it, it is the never-changing stability of God in our life. And we need both. And he's saying, Lord, who is sensitive to your spirit and following you in their life? And who is the one that is stable? And no matter what goes on, they're just stable and grounded. Look at what he said in verse 2. He who walks and lives uprightly and blamelessly. Just, that's integrity and truth. They're people of integrity and truth. And then it says, who works rightness and justice. And then look at this, speaks and thinks the truth in their heart. God is saying, what are you speaking and thinking in your heart? And see, what I speak and think of in my heart, it affects me sensing the stability and the presence of God and over my life. It affects it in my life. See, it is impossible to have a positive, God-inspired outlook, believing, thinking, and saying the wrong things within myself. And sometimes what we can do is we can just be there. And, you know, maybe we're over here and we just kind of, you know, we're just, the Lord ministers to our heart. And you know, we get prayer and somebody prays for us. And oh my gosh, Pastor Daniel Treese, they just prayed for me. It's just awesome. And you know, maybe you're sitting here and I'll just throw this thought out there. Maybe it's, you know, you're just in a little season with your husband, or you're in a little season with your wife, or you're in a little season with your kids, or maybe with your health or whatever it is. And they pray for you. And it's like, oh my gosh, yes, God is faithful. God is good. He's tearing it up. I believe it. And then you get around him. It's like, you're a big jerk. You're never going to change. It's just ridiculous. You're just like, dude, what's in your heart? How many of you know what I'm saying? What's in my heart? What's going on in my spirit? And what it is some people adjust their belief about Jesus and what God has for them based on something that has happened that they don't like. I don't like this. I don't like this. And we're all going to face and go through some junk. I know that. But we can't let it affect our belief in the love and in the grace and in the goodness of God over our life. understand this, that now if you've given your heart to Christ, understand this. Satan's goal is to dumb down the promises of God for your life. That's his goal. I'm not saying we're not going to heaven, but Jesus prayed this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that what realize this is, what am I expecting? Jesus said this, that what this woman expected is what she got. It says in Psalms 19:14, it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my firm, impenetrable rock and my redeemer, my redeemer. Can I just tell you one more quick story? Can I tell you a story? I remember, as a pastor, and I was raised in Huntington Beach for the first 18 years of my life, and then we lived in San Diego, went off and went to college and was gone for 5 years, and then came back to San Diego, and we were there for, or we were here for 17 years, and then now we've been in Michigan for 16 years. And so I pastor there, and I'm just grateful the grace of God is on our life to be there. But I remember, and there was a gal in our church, and she would come, and she would say, I got this son, and man, he just needs prayer. And so I'd encourage her and talk with her. I said, well, tell me a little bit about him. Well, he's in prison, and he's been in and out of jail, and just drugs, and just all kinds of craziness going on. And she said, I'm afraid because he's getting ready to get out of prison in about a month. And he's going to come. He doesn't have anywhere to go. So he's going to come and he's going to live with us. And so she was like, so we just need to pray and that the Lord will touch his life. I remember he came to church and he came in and he sat in the back. And when I invited people to give their heart to Christ, he lifted both hands up and began to cry. Oh, come on. How many of you know what I'm saying? Just began to cry. And afterwards, he comes up to the front, and his mom is right next to him. And he is just like, he's like 32, 34. And his mom is like right next to him. And she's all like, he's given his life to the Lord. And I'm talking to him. And how many of you know you can just be engaged, just fired up, excited, just pumped up about God. And I prayed with him. And, I want to connect you to somebody. Because realize this, that those that are closest to us affects what Jesus has for us more than anything else. And so I got somebody and I said, I want you to connect. And his mom is standing right there. And I said, isn't this awesome what Jesus has done in their life? And she looks up and he's right there and we're all fired up. And she looks up and she says, I sure hope it sticks, but I doubt it will. How many of you know what I'm saying? Dear Lord, with a mama like that, you just don't need the devil. How many of you know? That was bad. Get that off of the CD. How many of you know what I'm saying? Okay, we'll get back. Number six. But what it was is that what she had been through, even though Jesus had moved, she was calling it back. She was calling it back. Number six is this, is there was a push toward Jesus on the inside of this woman. See, what she expected came from what she heard, and it motivated her to push through the crowd, to push through doubt, to push through negativity, to push through passivity, and to touch him. And what we've got to realize is there must be an inside push in me. It can't be because of my husband or because of my wife. It can't be because of my parents or my boyfriend or my girlfriend that I've got this fire. And if they're out of my life, then what happens is my push takes a nosedive. It has to be an inside push within my heart. Martin Luther King said something, I like it. He said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And that's what it is. It's expecting. And what we want to do is we want to see the whole staircase. But as we look at this woman's life, I believe this morning that the Lord is wanting us to back up in our heart and in our life. And what he's saying to us is, you know what? I am desiring to move. I am desiring to do. I have already paid for it. But his question to us is, are you willing to adjust your belief system? Are you being specific in where you're needing me to move? Do you realize that when nobody else sees, that I see and I know what is going on? And you know what? Am I at a place in my life where I am just tired of where I've been and I'm ready to move into? There's a desperation on the inside. And the next is what I'm thinking and saying about myself within myself is huge. It's huge. And the Lord wants to fix and adjust and work on that. And the next thing is he's saying, I want you to have a push in your heart toward me that is independent of everybody else. You don't need somebody else to get you up. You don't need somebody else because it's a relationship with him. Are you with me today? Stand to your feet if you would. I want you to stand up. God, today we thank you for your word. Lord, that your word is alive and that it's powerful. And that, Lord, everything about Christianity is a relationship with you. This is not a bunch of do's and don'ts, but, Lord, this is a heart that is embracing you and saying, yes, God, yes, Lord, in our lives. I want everyone to look at me right now. You're here today, and you say, you know, I have got a need in my life that I really want God to move in. I really not just want, but I need him to move in my life. That is you. And that is such a broad sweep, but it's very personal to you. That's you. I want you to just lift a hand up to heaven, and I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every person that is here. God, I thank you for your favor and for your grace over their lives. Lord, we invite you. We need you. And Lord, I thank you that you are the way maker, that right now in some of our lives, you're stirring us to get specific. You're stirring us to come to a spot where there's resolve on the inside. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that helps us. Lord, it isn't our works. It isn't our effort. It's us yielding to you, inviting you, and following you like this woman. And Lord, I thank you for your encouragement, your lift, and your strength in your people's lives. Pour out over their lives. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Now, we're going to close in just a minute, but I just want everyone to look at me right now. You're here, and you have never given your heart to Christ. Maybe you're like me. I was raised in a religious home. We did our time. How many of you know what I'm saying? As long as I did my time at home, I could stay at home rent free. I'll do that 45 minutes. How many of you know what I'm saying? But I never understood that God wants a personal relationship with me. That it's not, he's not trying to shove you in a box. What he's trying to do is remove everything that's killing you and bring you into a relationship with him that totally transforms your life. That's what he wants. But it all comes back to me knowing I need him, me asking him to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins, and to be my Lord and my Savior. And I never like to close a service. I believe there's people in this room right now that you're not where you should be with Jesus. You're not where you should be. Maybe you gave your life to him, but you've gotten off track. You've gotten off the rails. No condemnation. The Lord's using me to reach out to you because he loves you. Maybe you're here and you've never done that before. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here and you say, you know what? I need Jesus today. I don't want to leave this place until I give him my heart and invite him to be my Lord and Savior. What I want you to do is I believe that right now he's reaching out to you. But what he's wanting you to do is to reach out to him. And by reaching out to him, you're saying, yes, Lord, that's me. On the count of three, if that is you, I'm going to pray with you right where you're at. But I want you to lift your hand to the Lord. And by lifting your hand to him, you're saying, yes, Lord, that is me. One, two, three. That's you. Lift your hand. There you go. All over the room. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God is reaching out. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Reaching into your heart, reaching into your life. Thank you. I want to lead us all in this prayer. Say this with me. Jesus, I need you. Thank you for going to the cross to pay for my sins. And I'm asking you, forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I give you everything. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit. You pour out your spirit in the midst of a dry and thirsty land. You give up your mercy.